Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. A powerful and disturbing new documentary on HBO tells the story of the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. It starts with a savage bombing attack 3 years ago and follows the chase and apprehension of the bombers, as well as the struggles of the survivors, including Celeste Corcoran of Lowell, who lost both her legs.
I thought I was never going to be able to walk.
She was crying every single day for hours, and it was the hardest thing to watch.
Never in my life have I seen Celeste and felt her sob so deeply.
That last voice was that of Kevin Corcoran, the husband of Celeste Corcoran, one of more than 260 people injured in the bombing, which killed three people. We also heard from her son, Tyler, in that clip. The new HBO documentary is called Marathon, the Patriots Day Bombing, which debuts this coming Monday. And joining us now from NPR New York are the directors of the documentary, Ricky Stern and Annie Sundberg. And Ricky and Annie, thanks for joining us. Good to have you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks.
And congratulations. I watched it last night. I think the two words that I used at the top were powerful and disturbing. I think both are true, but it's quite a work. And so I want to offer you congratulations. I also want to welcome Celeste Corcoran. She's on the line from Lowell. She was standing with her daughter, Sydney, and her husband, Kevin, near the finish line in 2013, watching her sister finish the race when the bombs exploded. And we heard from her in that clip. Celeste, thank you so much for talking with us today as well. It's good to have you.
Thank you. Good. Thanks to be invited.
Now, Ricky and Annie, I'd like to start with you. You teamed up with the Boston Globe to make this film. Why did you want to tell this story now? Give us a sense about why now.
Well, when Annie and I first were meeting with HBO, it was in April of 2015, and the Boston Marathon bombing trial was happening, and it wasn't getting front page news. And it was in partnership with HBO that they said, you know, what has happened to all those survivors? There were so many that were injured, and we don't hear about it. The national news media comes in, and then they go away. And the Boston Globe was the one news source, you know, the local paper, that made a deliberate decision to stick with the survivor stories and cover them in this long format, in-depth reporting. And so Annie and I immediately started in our research. We decided that we had to partner with the Globe because they had not only told the stories, but the photographs and the video from that day and subsequent days was so important in us telling the story now, 3 years in the 2 to 3 years in the aftermath. Is we started shooting 2 years after the bombing, and now it's been 3 years. And it was important for us just to show what happens in the aftermath of a terrorist attack.
Yeah, and you do that very powerfully. And I think if it's fair to say, the one point you make, or at least that comes through loud and clear, is that a lot of people were hurt and a lot of people remain in pain. Is that fair?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the things that was important for us as filmmakers is we started to look closely at potential people to approach, for, you know, to be in the film, is that we wanted to look at the variety of experiences. One of the other things that, you know, we really hoped to explore in the film is this idea of the invisible wounded, the people who don't have the obvious injuries, the people who are also navigating a family life, a relationship with a husband, relationship with a child in the wake of something like this. And so I think that you see that very clearly in the Corcoran's experience.
Well, let me come to you, Celeste Corcoran. Your story is among those that are told in the film. As we mentioned, you lost both your legs, and we see you in the film struggle as you learn to walk, to run, to swim with prosthetic limbs. We also see the effect that the bombing had on your entire family, your daughter Sydney, who was injured by shrapnel, your husband, who was at the finish line as well. Obviously, it was very hard on him. Can I ask just a really basic question? How are you all doing 3 years later? How do you describe how your family is?
Well, that's a pretty complex question. It's actually not a simple question because there's so many, at the beginning, you're just in shock. There's so many phases. There's so many things that you go through. You're just in shock and you're just sort of existing and trying to just put your mind around what just happened to you and your family. And then as time goes on, you eventually start to heal and maybe, in my case, become accustomed to, or try to get accustomed to, having prosthetic legs and not real legs anymore, and try and just get on with my daily life. But as you mentioned, I think the hardest thing is it might have been easier if it was just me. Mm. Actually, I know that for a fact. It would have been easier if it was just me, but it wasn't. It was my daughter. She came closer to dying that day than I did. Her femoral artery was severed, and if her lifesavers didn't do what they did, there's not a doubt in my mind that she would have just died on a cold Boston sidewalk away from us. We couldn't see her. And then there's the invisible disabilities, like just the trauma that my husband has gone through. He was my lifesaver. He tied the tourniquets around my legs, but you can't ever, unsee what you've seen. And this feeling, I don't know if it's a male thing, because my son felt and feels the same way. I know they have struggled with guilt feelings that they couldn't prevent or fix, what mm-hmm. happened, even though you can't, of course they couldn't do that, but that's not, and they know that rationally, but post-traumatic stress is so, I think it's such an understood and under-talked about subject, and it's so insidious and so strong, and I think that I'm so glad that this documentary touches upon people that weren't even there. Liz Norden wasn't there. And
well, I'm glad you mentioned Liz Norden, because I wanted to play another clip from the film.
Sure.
And so this is Liz Norden, and she's the mother of JP and Paul, two brothers who both lost their right legs in the bombing. So here's Liz Norden from the documentary Marathon, the Patriots Day Bombing, which will debut on HBO this coming Monday.
Walking from Beth Israel to Brigham's to see JP. That part is just like, sorry. It's just a blur. I don't remember. Both of them were in surgery at the same time. And even though they're older, they're still your kids. And you want to be there for both of them. I had to literally pick and choose.
So that was Liz Norden. Annie, I want to come back to you. The film follows three families, including Celeste Corcoran's and Annie Norden's. How did you choose who to feature in the film among the many survivors?
One of the first things that we did after we started to think seriously about this project is we went up and we met with a lot of the editors and the reporters at the Boston Globe, and we really got a sense from them about certain relationships that they had built. And I think that as we started to think about who to include in the film, we were very conscious of looking for people who hadn't told their stories in depth publicly. John Tolmachy was one of the first people who we spoke to. He's the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer who covers the Corcorans in great detail, and he led us to the Corcorans. But it was Patty Wen, who's a Boston Globe reporter, who spoke about a deep relationship that she developed with Liz, and she said there's something there in what this woman who... she raised two sons. She raised an entire family of five children. She gets them off into healthy adulthood, and now they're back under her care. And, they talked about navigating this, second story entrance. The boys, when they came out, she basically had two small children back in her house again, in this emotional way that she had of why us, why this family. That was also an important dynamic for us to explore with her, is that sense of how do you move forward in the face of meaningless tragedy?
Yeah. You mentioned the photographer, John Tolmachy, who took pictures of Celeste Corcoran. I want to ask you about this, of you and your daughter when you were down on the pavement. And he actually sought you out to apologize for taking those pictures, and this is featured in the film, and I was fascinated and very moved by that. Can you sort of talk about that and explain your reaction to that apology?
Yes, I'd love to. He came to see us when we were in rehab, and I just remember the nurse, you know, they had to clear everybody that came to see us, and the nurse coming in and saying that there was this man, John Tamaki, who is a Boston Globe photographer, and he wanted to visit us, and she said, he's very nervous. And I was like, what do you mean? What is he nervous for? And so he ended up, you know, coming in to see us, and within, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of talking to him, he immediately said, I want to apologize, because, and he says, like he says in the film, that he, you know, thought he crossed a line because he took us pictures of us at our most vulnerable. And I immediately...
And just to be clear, by that he meant, I mean, this is shortly after the blast. You're being administered to on the pavement on Boylston Street. You and your daughter are both bleeding. It's not at all clear if you're going to even survive.
Absolutely. And so I said to him, I was like, stop. I don't ever want to hear you apologize again. I said, just talking to you in the past 10 minutes, I can already tell... you know, what kind of person you are, you know, you get a first impression of somebody. And I said, you weren't stepping over bodies to take these pictures. You know, you were taking pictures of people helping other people. And for someone, if none of those pictures were out there, and I were to just try to explain to someone what that day was like, what the horror and the just the graphicness of everything, there's no way that you could even begin to get the scope of how just horrific and devastating it was. And those pictures, to me, I said to him, I said, those pictures are so important. The world has to see.
They tell the story in so many ways.
Absolutely. And the world has to see that this is terrorism.
Yeah.
And this is here. And we need to be aware of this. And we need to do everything we can to make it stop.
Now, Ricky and Annie, I assume that you had to face sort of similar questions. I mean, you do an excellent and disturbing job of relaying the horror of this. But did you have to think about... I mean, was there a line you couldn't cross? Did you have to think about how to do that in a way that didn't invade too much of the victim's privacy, essentially?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, having John and Celeste in the film and having him verbalize and it was very much for Annie and for me an opportunity to say, we feel the same way. We don't want to further victimize people by showing imagery that is going to make them feel uncomfortable. So that was presented through John. But we, Annie and I, early on with the footage, it was very important that we wanted to show what really happened that day. We didn't want to sanitize it, but we didn't want to glorify it, and we didn't want to sensationalize it. And so we had conversations with all the survivors, and we were told very clearly from Jessica and from Celeste that it's very important for people to see what it looks like to be blown up by a bomb. It's not pretty. But these people, Celeste, Jessica, Patrick, they JP, they've been living, all of them have been living with their bodies being torn apart by a bomb. And so they live it every day. And
right.
So it was important for other people to see it.
You mentioned Jessica, and that's Jessica Kensky. And I want to play another clip from the documentary. This is of Jessica Kensky. She was a nurse at MGH. She and her husband were critically injured on Boylston Street. He lost a leg. She ended up losing both of her legs. So here's Jessica describing the moments right after the bombing.
Someone ran over to me and just said, you're on fire, and started to push me down on the ground. When they lifted me up, he put his hand on the stretcher, and I just remember him saying, we'll figure this out, and I love you.
So that's the voice of Jessica Kensky in a clip from the forthcoming HBO documentary film, Marathon, The Patriots' Day Bombing. You know, I want to ask the filmmakers, Ricky and Annie, watching that scene and seeing the love and also the challenges that Jessica Kinski and her husband, Patrick, face. They're still facing it in many ways. Patrick seems to have had an easier time with his recovery. He lost a leg, but by the end of the film, you see him actually running a marathon. It's more complicated for Jessica Kinski. Can you tell us a little bit about their story?
Absolutely. Jessica has had just anatomical issues healing. Not only did she have to face the heartbreaking and incredibly traumatizing decision of, after a year of undergoing limb salvage on her existing leg, to go for a second amputation, and then coming out of that, when we first met her, she was probably, you know, 6-7 months into life without both legs, and she was up. She was walking. I think she was starting to feel that there was some positivity, and I think it was probably easier for her to think about allowing cameras into her life at that point. But as the year went on, it became clear that she was not healing in the same way as Patrick was. And there's the emotional distance that happens within a marriage. They work tremendously hard. They both are fairly open about the fact that they go to individual counseling. They do marriage counseling. What's, I think, really helpful is that we were joking. Patrick, we wanted to congratulate him because he just earned his PhD, or I believe he's about to. He defended his doctoral dissertation yesterday. He had had a specialty in the psychology of trauma care. So he was already studying this right at the time that this happened to them. And he and Jess have been very open about the work that it's taken for them to keep their marriage whole while Jess is trying to work out her physical issues. She's going back in for, again, another surgery and contemplating some difficult things right now. For her, she wanted to be up and walking more than anything, and she particularly wanted to be up and walking at the time of the trial, and that just did not happen for her.
Now, the film ends with this past year's marathon. You see Patrick Downs running the race with a prosthetic leg. He finishes it, and there's sort of some happiness there in seeing him complete the race, but it's also sad because his wife, Jessica, who's a double amputee, as you mentioned, is still really struggling. So it's a sad final image, and I gather you wanted to end the film that way to make the point that this story isn't over or resolved for so many survivors. Is that fair?
Right. Yeah. It is bittersweet, is how we look at the ending. And Jessica, actually, we had a lot of conversations with her about it, that she said, you know, Patrick's going to run this marathon, but please make sure it's not just about what we see in the news sometimes is people dancing 1 year later on the finish line in their prosthetic leg, as if everything is back to normal and everything is fixed. And we didn't want that either, because we know not only in Jessica and Patrick's story that they're still struggling, but, you know, in Celeste, in the Corcorans, it's an up and down journey, and it's not a clean line trajectory. And that's important for people to know. So the end is bittersweet because the people continue to struggle and continue to grow and change. And this has changed their lives forever.
Celeste, I'm going to give the last word for you. And we only have about 30 seconds left. But Boston obviously lived through this in a big way. Your family lived through this. There are many survivors who have lived through this, who are living through this. Is Boston ready to see this film? Does it need to see this film now?
I think that's a question for each individual to answer. If they have an interest in seeing it, I think that it is, I'm proud that my name is a part of it. I think that they did what happened justice, you know, like they portrayed it in such a way that you understand what happened. But obviously that's a decision for anybody. If people feel that they're not ready for it, then they shouldn't watch it. But it's not just a movie of, horror and everything. There's funny moments and everything. And I personally think I would recommend that people see it.
Well, I would agree. It's a very powerful film, but disturbing as well. It's called Marathon, the Patriots Day Bombing. It'll debut on HBO this coming Monday, November 21st. A lot more information at RadioBoston.org. Celeste Corcoran, one of the survivors who's featured in the documentary, thank you so much. And I wish you and your family all the best luck in the world. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
And from New York, the directors of Marathon, Ricky Stern and Annie Sundberg, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. Coming up, there's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.